Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios. Chorus praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody. I said one, two,
three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the Angry Hour here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida in Danger Studios, joined with special guest Mr. Clayton Fletcher.
I feel Danger Studios is apropos today.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel... I've never known you to be always dangerous, Dougie,
no.
Until today. He's feeling it today.
Yeah.
He's fired up.
I'm just fired up. I didn't even ask to get into something today. Let's start with what started it.
Let's get into it.
You know, I usually on Wednesdays, I go to the gym.
Right.
I've been sick, so I haven't been. I was sick when I was in New York.
You sound a little congested now.
I've been congested for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. It's not good when you spit and it bounces. That's
if anyone
a good
out there
sign.
Is listening, could ship some Flonase directly to Dangerous Studios.
Get me some Mucinex. I'm wheezing in the night. My wife thinks there's like a whistling competition going on. I'm like, wee, wee.
There is, and you're winning.
I am winning. I am the whistler.
So what's going on? Tell everybody what's happening on Facebook.
So I had to go to the office today. You flew in early. You flew in from New York.
Oh, my God.
And you got in early. I like to fly early.
I like to come the night before.
Right.
As you know, I meant to be in Florida yesterday. I don't know if people know. I live in New York City, and we had rain there yesterday. And in New York, if it rains a little, they cancel your flight. I don't know why.
We don't want to get the plane wet.
Yeah, these planes can't get wet. So, I mean, it wasn't raining hard, but they said, oh, due to the storm. I said, I'm here in New York. What storm are you talking about? Due to the storm, we need to reschedule your trip.
Yeah.
And so, lucky me, 6 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
Which meant I had to wake up at 4.
Right. And you don't have a car, right?
No.
So how do you get to the airport? How do you get to the airport?
You got to take the shuttle to the airport.
And that's like $50. That's what I had to take Uber when I was in New York.
It's $50, no matter where you're going. Around the corner, $50.
Yeah. You know, so it's $50. And I learned how to get from JFK, you know, to take the trains. Like when I flew in, I ran into Oscar Collazos, who was coming from Miami, same plane as me. So I was like, I tagged along him. I went to took the LIR. You know, went to town and got a train and went to.
I could have told you how to do that.
Well, I know. And now
rely on the kindness of Oscar Collazo.
I know. I'm walking around. But to get there, but I had an early flight. I had like a very early flight too.
Yeah, I hate that.
Like 7 a.m. So you have to be at, you know, now I had Uber pick me up at 5 or whatever it was.
We have to rename the show.
Yeah.
We'll wake up early with Dougie.
Real early with Dougie. Hey, what's Dougie doing? Sleeping on the desk. I'm not a morning person.
Yeah, no comedian is.
But when I fly, I like to get out early. I like to get it over with.
Right.
So you got in early. Now I said, look, I usually would, and I had to go to the office today. You know, I had business to do, had paperwork, I had things to do. I had to go to my office. And I'm sitting in my office, and one of our co-hosts, Ciro Dobrik.
Now, before you get into that, just as an aside, I hate to interrupt you, Doug, but I have to ask. Around the office, you work like in finance or something, right?
Yeah.
You got like a financial type of job, right?
Yeah.
And around there, are they like, oh, that's always Dangerous Dougie right there.
Yeah, don't ask him for paper clips. Don't borrow a staple from him.
I'm picturing you at the office telling all of the other financial guys, hey, please call me Always Dangerous Dougie, everyone.
Yeah, it's like being called captain. thank goodness it's just me and another gentleman and an office manager. It's not like
not like what I'm picturing. Yeah. The only office I know is the TV show, so I'm trying to figure out how this works.
It's not like the Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, okay, so you're not
strippers
at the water
and cocaine
cooler.
And shit. No, it's just a little nice little corporate office. Two, three offices in there.
All right. So I shouldn't have interrupted you because you were about to name names.
Yeah.
Cyril, who is that?
Cyril Dobrik, who's okay. a local comic here. Right. He hosts here on Monday.
Okay.
He's a bit of a crazy guy.
Right.
He's very Republican, loves Trump.
Yeah.
And when he's on Facebook, he goes really ridiculous. He's not the kind of, he's not a political, you know, he's not like somebody you would see on CNBC. You know,
no.
he's just a guy who he's like a disruptive gadfly. He's like, you know, he loves pissing people off. You know what I mean? So
sounds like a perfect co-host.
Yeah.
For Always Dangerous Dougie Show.
Well, you know, and he's on Monday with Ethan Moore, who's on the left. Mm-hmm. He's a bit of a left, more of an independent, but a left. So it's a balance.
Right.
You know, and I'm Republican, but I'm, you know, I can admit when fucking Trump screws up and he says stupid shit. But it's not what people say, it's what they do I care about. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? We had a great, Obama was a great speaker. Great.
Yes.
Spoke eloquently, but he didn't do shit. he's terrible. I think we ought to, fucking yeah.
All right, so what happened on Facebook?
So, I guess Ciro posted something about, because there's a lot of controversy now how the Democrats got in bed with the Republicans, I mean the Russians.
Right.
You know, they wanted to investigate Russia and the collusion with Trump, and it's turning out that they're finding out a lot of shit about the Democrats with the uranium enrichment and the Clintons and all kinds of things are coming up. So he posted something about that. I know him. I didn't even read it because I don't do that anymore. If I want to read about the news, I'll open a newspaper.
Wow.
I'm not gonna go on somebody's Facebook post and read what they said about some politics and go, hey, you know what's I really need to find out what's going on.
But most people do get their news from Facebook, and that some say is how Trump won the election.
Yeah, well, that's, you know.
I don't know if we believe them.
I don't believe that. Trump won the election because Hillary's a cunt. That's it. Nobody likes her. It's that simple.
So you voted against Hillary. Exactly. For Trump. Okay, got it.
I lost all faith in her when the attorney general showed up on Bill's plane and they had that conversation while his wife was being investigated. And by the way, that's a whole nother investigation that's opening up. So. And that was it. You know what I mean? And I'm a Republican. I believe in certain. So whatever.
So this guy writes. So he writes about uranium.
Yeah, he puts something on there. And then Dave Siegel. I don't want to mention names.
No, you do want to mention
names. I do. A comic in New York. Very funny guy. Very smart guy. He writes for one of these TV news shows.
Mm-hmm.
Well-spoken guy. He knows his stuff. You know, he's on the left. Him and I have been in debates before. He gave me shit one time because I was voice texting and I said moot point. It wrote mute instead of moot. And then he critiqued me to shit. He's like, what kind of college you go to with a moot point? I'm like, it's voice text, Dave. Calm down.
Hey, when in doubt, correct the spelling.
Yeah, I don't have time to correct it. if I'm going to get into a long discussion, I don't have time to type. I got big fat fingers. I don't have time to sit there. I just voice text. I don't have time for grammar. But it's fun. You know what I mean? It's intriguing. We both make our points. But yeah. Dave has a way of wanting to win an argument.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He's a winner. I got to win the argument. Like, it's a debate. Like, he's going to get a trophy at the end.
Well, how do you know who wins a Facebook argument? Is it based on who gets the most likes, or is it based on who gets the last word?
You'd have to ask Dave.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to winning, the only thing I care about winning on is a comedy contest.
Right.
Right? And winning the hand of my wife.
Yeah, that's good.
Winning, you know?
Good.
I like winning, like, in poker.
Poker, yeah.
I love to win poker tournaments.
What I like about poker, Doug, is it's really easy to know who won.
Yes.
Because you start with a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And at the end, if you have more than that, you won.
Yeah. It's not like if you had a Facebook poker contest, there'd be somebody inside said, no, you got more chips, but his chips are nicer.
Right. And his chips have more likes than yours.
Yeah. His chips got retweeted.
Yeah. People retweeted his chips more than yours.
Yeah. Just stupid.
So wait, so what did Dave have to say? So he's on the left. He's a
right,
news
so,
guy.
So I guess he didn't like what Ciro had written.
Okay.
So he gets me involved by tagging me in the conversation.
Oh, boy. Dragging you into.
Yeah, so here I am working. Yeah. All of a sudden, hey, Dave Siegel tagged you in a comment. And I'm like, here we go.
So let's get him.
Yeah, let's get Doug involved because he doesn't want to deal with that fucking loon. So he brings me into the conversation like, hey, I understand this guy's on your podcast. You know, how can you have this guy in your podcast? He's racist. He's this and that. Meanwhile, Ciro is not racist.
I think I might have met him. Is it possible that the last time I performed at Tavolino, he might have been there?
Yeah. Baldish, kind of long hair. He kind of looks like a cross between Sam Kinison and...
Yeah, that sounds like the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, and it sounds cliche, but he's got plenty of black friends. They all love him. They know he's not racist.
Right.
Just because you love Trump, he's racist.
Yeah.
You know? So he's saying, how can you have this guy on your show? You know, well, it's a podcast, Dave. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like it's a comedy podcast. It's not like I'm doing special interest stories for CNBC or, you know, or fucking like Nightline or something. It's a podcast.
Actually, I'd like to see like angry, dangerous Dougie do a special interest piece for CNBC.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
And now with your correspondent.
We're here at the home for disabled children who are dying from AIDS.
Yeah.
And here's Dougie. God damn it, I'm so pissed off.
Yeah, these fucking kids are useless. you know, so it gets me up. I said, look, you know, and then Dave goes into that way he does. He tries to ask me, go, well, you know, you want, and the thing was like, well, you know, you invited me to be on that show, and I'll have to tell you, if you're going to have a guy like that on your show, I can't be on your show. Well, you know, it's not like I was heartbroken, but I invited Dave like 2 fucking years ago, and he hasn't been on since, so it's not like I've been sitting here waiting for the, you know.
Right. He's been looking for an excuse to firmly get out of doing it, is what's happening.
Oh, well, if you're going
to
have this guy on.
Yeah, that's my out. I can get out. Oh, I can't be associated with this racist Russian Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
Now, when you first told me this story off air, I was a little confused, and I'm actually relieved now, because I thought that this guy, Dave, was saying that about me, because I was going to be on today. I thought that you meant he said, why are you having this guy on?
Well, he's probably going to look down at you because you're on when I have a co-host. You know, like think about that. Like, so in other words, if you watch, like,
Can I get a like from Dave?
No, he's too busy winning a debate on Facebook right now.
Right.
You know, so that's like. It's like, so if for some reason you're on a talk show and the Grand Wizard of the KKK is on there because he's interviewed, it's like anybody said, well, I won't be on that TV show because you had that person on.
So what you're saying is that this guy, Ciro, is the Grand Wizard of the KKK.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I heard you say it. No. And they heard it, too.
Yeah, I'm not saying he is.
You're also not saying he isn't.
I'm not. He could be. Yeah. Listen, I don't know what people do on their free time.
Under their white sheets.
You know, I don't know. Nowadays, everybody's blending in.
Yes.
I'm just saying that I find it really weird that I love when people try to tell me what I should do.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Listen, there's a suggestion box. If you want to make it, put it in there, and I won't read it, but you can do it.
Yeah.
I run the shit the way I run it. And it's not like I got a bevy of choices for my you know, like I got millions of people trying to be co-hosts here on the podcast.
Well, let me jump in, because I posted something in defense of women at the time when all the women in New York City were apparently being raped.
Oh, they were, yeah.
Multiple comedians. There was a real problem, and this is not a laughing matter. It was a real problem where females in comedy started to express fear that certain male comedians and especially producers were taking advantage of their position and making them uncomfortable, and in some cases, even assaulting them.
Right.
So I jumped in and I said, you know, well, okay, so my friend Kurt Metzger, who was a name that maybe some of your listeners might know. He's a well-known comedian. He was a writer for Amy Schumer's TV show on Comedy Central. And, you know, he appeared regularly on Comedy Central and everything. I've known Kurt since we kind of started in comedy together, you know, umpteen years ago. And I basically called him out on Facebook because he was saying that, you know, these women should have reported to the police when it happened. And I just feel like as men, we don't know what it's like to be a female rape victim. And, you know, I don't think we should be saying that kind of stuff. And that's all I was trying to do. And I did it publicly because women on Facebook were asking men to stand up for them.
Right.
And I said, all right, well, this looks like an opportunity where this guy, everybody knows.
Looked like a good opportunity to get laid.
That's what everyone accused me of, by the way.
Yeah.
You cannot stand up for women on Facebook without someone saying that you're white knighting.
Right.
Now, for those who don't know, white knighting is a technique whereby you pretend to be a friend of women, but all you really want to do is get
in their pants.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody that is heterosexual would like to get into women's pants. Okay?
Right.
I mean, that's just how, that's nature. But not everything that you do as a man is necessarily with that end goal. And in this case, I was just trying to like set an example, be a leader, and I didn't say it in a way that was mean enough for some of my female friends. And I actually had 2 women defriend me on Facebook after I called Kurt out because they said I didn't do it. I was too respectful about it, and I didn't do it in a harsh enough way.
Oh,
and they wanted to control how I did it. They said, well, why don't you unfriend him? And I said, well, he's my friend.
Yeah.
I'm just publicly talking about this because I feel like we need to get this conversation out into the open. You know, and my point was, I don't think men should be telling women how to respond to rapists.
So in other words, So here, let me see if I can follow this because, all right, so a friend of yours makes a comment that you kind of take as like, well, it's kind of unfeeling.
Yeah,
it's
it was
kind
very
of like,
unfeeling.
You know, it's not, who's a guy to say, like, if most guys got raped, they would tell everybody, you know, like, hey, some girl, you know, strapped me down and I don't know if it's.
Would you tell everyone had you been raped by a man?
No.
Probably not.
No, yeah. I wouldn't go right
off. Keep that on the down low.
Yeah, hey, did you like it? Because, you know, just look at the way people judge there, because they're going to say, you know, you probably did something.
Yeah.
You know, you probably said something to them to make them think that you wanted it.
Right.
You
know, and women live in this fear every day. Like, a lot of men don't realize that, but women are walking around, like, worrying about this stuff that you and I never think about.
Yeah.
Because we are the most hated version of a human on Facebook, a white straight man.
Yeah, we should be off it. Any white heterosexual male should just get off Facebook because you're obviously racist. You're sexist.
Yeah, you're the worst.
You're a schmuck. You're a
scumbag. We should all shut up.
We should just not say a word. Never. Because that's just. We should just sit there and smile. That's no more like buttons. We should just have like a smiley button. Like, you know, like I gotcha.
Even that could trigger me a little, I think.
Yeah.
What's triggered.
So fucking funny? Yeah. What are you laughing at, fucker? Yeah, no, it's the truth. You're right. So now you do something. He's your friend, and you're risking, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to. He's going to probably get mad at me. You know, I'm trying to stand up. You know, and you know what? You would hope friends know you well enough and can respect your character to say, hey, man, I appreciate what you're saying, but I didn't mean it that way. And you would think it would be some sort of dialogue like that.
Right.
Right. And you know you're going to risk him getting mad at you.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so you're standing up for women. And then a couple of these hoople-headed fucking women, you know, they get mad because they didn't like the way you did it.
And then they
You should have been harsher. You should have been meaner to him.
You should have defriended him. You should have been meaner. You should have said this. You should
have said
that.
Is defriended different than unfriend?
I think... they are interchangeable terms.
Are they? Okay.
We should make sure.
Maybe, I just want to make sure there's nothing different
watching
between,
that can help.
Yeah, you guys, defriend. Is there anything different between defriend and unfriend?
They basically wanted me to stop being Facebook friends with him.
Hmm.
And, you know, to me, Facebook isn't real life. Most of my friends on Facebook aren't Dougie Almeidas that I actually know and have met in
Although
person.
We are friends on Facebook.
We are. But most of them are people that I haven't actually met
or
maybe met very briefly passing through Kansas City. Whoever the feature was, like, can we be friends on Facebook? Sure we can, but I don't really know you. You know, this is kind of a thing that happens. So I don't feel like the hive, and they call it hive mind for a reason. You ever seen a swarm of bees and they're like, okay, let's go get them.
Right.
And that's kind of what's going on so often on Facebook is that people want to try to gang up on you, even when you're doing something good that's not good enough for them.
Yeah.
It's kind of upsetting. And this appears to be what's going on with some of your friends. Well, you shouldn't have that guy on your show.
Well,
it's like, well, you're not in charge of my show, are you?
It's what happened because... Then you get the you get these trolls. You know, there's a great word for they're trolls because I've had an experience like that with Marsha Warfield. You know, her and I get into certain discussions, and you know, and I'll just throw and a lot of times I'll hear something that's like when you see ignorance in a sense like people just making these incredible assumptions. You know, like the last big debate was the Trump conversation with the five-star widow. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And my personal belief is, as big as a buffoon this guy is, and is he doesn't have a filter, and sometimes he doesn't say, he's not, you know, he doesn't use the right words or whatever, the story didn't hold water to me where he would be rude or condescending to a Green Beret's widow. I did, you know, especially when all these other things came out that said, you know, well, he was very respectful to me when he called, you know, there's recorded conversations with other five-star families. So to me, the story would be he would have had to have had something against that family. Or maybe he was waiting for some waffles and they didn't come and he made the call and all of a sudden he was a little upset. Who knows? But, you know, it didn't hold water. And so when I hear the expression that somebody says, oh, this person, when they knew what they signed up for, you know, when you hear that, I hear it in the context of bravery. I think of police officers when I hear eulogies. They're usually used for police officers. You know, here's somebody woke up every morning knowing they could possibly not come home that day. That is in the context of bravery and courage. That somebody actually gets up every morning, goes does a job where they know they may not come home. That's the way I took it. That's the way I heard it. And it isn't out of line to think that everybody is just judging this fucking guy. And he is the most prosecuted, most, you know, judged president in history.
Well, he is. And I feel like it's in a lot of people's best interest to separate us into teams.
Right.
Like, you're either on Team Trump, which means you're a racist and bigot and, you know, whatever. You hate women. You hate everybody. Or you're on Team not Trump.
Right.
Right. So you have to be on one side or the other. And they have an interest in dividing us.
Right. Labeling. People like the label because they want to know. They want to be in the right. They want to know what they... I really got to understand this and make sense of things.
And I happen to believe that it's possible to have your own opinion that doesn't necessarily go straight in line with the hive and still be a good person.
Yeah.
And what happens is on Facebook, especially, it seems to be even worse on Facebook than it is on Twitter. It's like if you're not 100% on Team Trump is the devil,
right,
then you are a racist yourself and a Nazi,
right,
and everything, and a homophobe and everything else. And meanwhile, people are much more complicated than that. I don't think that Trump has an evil agenda. Yeah. I think that Trump will make so many mistakes because he's never been a politician before,
right,
and because he's always been an egomaniac.
Yeah.
So for Trump, it's not really about the widow or what happens with the Iran deal or the Paris Agreement or any of the other things that people are up in arms about. It's always going to be about Trump. And people wanted an egomaniac for president. By the way, I've been saying on stage for months that I think it takes a very special kind of ego to want to be president. Like, you have to look at America and say, well, how many people are there? Like 350 million?
Right.
Yeah, I should be in charge.
Yeah.
I got this.
I'll take care of it.
350, I can handle. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. And then I watched the Seinfeld Netflix, the latest Seinfeld thing about the comic strip in the old days. And he was making the same observation. I was like, I didn't steal it from Jerry, but I'm excited that Jerry and I had parallel thinking on this.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's the teaming up. You know, like I have certain wolves, like when I make a certain comment. Like when I brought this up, I made a comment that had shitload of comments when I brought up this thing up about I didn't take it as being an evil. I didn't take his comments as being derogatory to the widow.
You haven't heard them either.
No, I didn't hear them. Just from, like, there were people like, now you're admitting he said it, and he never said it. He said he didn't say it. And look, I know, I don't know Trump, but I know that when he said he didn't say that, he's saying he didn't say it that way. He didn't, you know. So I can easily hear that, you know, the guy said, well, he knew what he was getting into and this and that. It meant, meaning in a bravery text, not in a way like, well, that dumb fuck knew what he was doing. Like, that's what the liberal media would want you to think. Like, that stupid fucking guy knew what was coming anyway. Can't feel bad for him. That's what they'd want you to think. And the problem is that cowboy, a cowgirl loon, that Democrat congressman, Frederica, was there. And you can't tell me that she didn't coach the woman and use this as a political moment. That's the most disgusting thing. A soldier, a Green Beret, a badass dies, and the family, and that's why I don't like this particular widow because of the use of the death of her husband to politicize this bullshit. And that's the problem I have. So,
well, unless, and you know, I know the devil doesn't need an advocate, but let me try to play one. Unless she is speaking truthfully about something that did happen and that she did feel that way about, and whether Trump meant it in a certain way or not, she took it that way.
Right.
But even then, I don't see the value of politicizing it, even if she took it that way. Because then what happens is it's just another brush with which to paint Trump as evil.
Right.
And I feel manipulated by it myself as a more objective, like I probably would consider myself a moderate,
right,
or if anything, a libertarian. Like, I feel like, without getting too heavily into politics, I think the government should leave us alone a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, kind of get out of my life, stupid government.
Yeah, I don't want less government. That's why I'm a Republican. Simple. Yeah. Less government, the better. You know, everybody says, you know, what? Just go to the Division of Motor Vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to see how something's run well, just go there. It's not rich. There's certain things they just shouldn't do. You know, military, service, welfare, things like that, sure. But when it comes to other things, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap between libertarian beliefs and Republican beliefs. But then there's also a lot of non-overlap, too.
That's what the separate between the two. But the thing is that bugs me are these fucking hoopleheads that jump on the bandwagon when they see something. That's what happened.
By the way, Hoopalhead. Let's get into that.
Hoopalhead comes from the movie, the TV series Deadwood from HBO.
Okay, I've never seen it. All right.
Which was back in the days. Of the,
you said it once. I let it go. You brought the Hooplehead back in.
I love Hooplehead.
You brought Hooplehead back, and I said I got to address
it. But think about what a Hooplehead would be like.
I thought you were talking about bobblehead.
No, like bobblehead. No, there's unfriend and there's defriend.
Right, and then there's Hooplehead and bobblehead. Got it.
All right. Cool. So, like, but these. That's what happened. This one guy, another one of Day's friends, said, give it to him. You know, was in that, hey, let's give it to this guy. Yeah. The Trump, you know, he jumped
get
on the bandwagon.
Everybody, yeah.
And so he starts commenting on me because I basically said to Dave during that thing, I'm like, hey, I'm at work. You know, I'm watching the stock market. I got things to do for my clients. And then this douchebag basically says, oh, what kind of comic is this if he has to work as a financial planner during the day or some shit like that?
You know, that's just a really hoople-headed thing to say.
See, now you got the phrase. You understand where it comes from.
Can you use hoople-headed?
I would.
Yeah?
I would. Right, it's good. A good word. Hoople. and that's when I and the guy said something, and I was just, you know, my first thought, always dangerous, Doug, was I was about to go, hey, listen, fucktard.
Right.
You know? I don't have time for your shit, and I'm like, I didn't. He's not. This person's nothing to me. I'm not even gonna waste my time. So I pick up the phone. I call Dave. I go, hey Dave, do me a favor, you know, tell your friends that, you know, get a hold of your fucking douchebag friends here.
So Dave made a comment to try to bring you into the conversation,
right.
And he suggested that the Russian guy shouldn't be on the show anymore,
right?
Right, so he was trying to get you to do that. And then you're talking about yet another third party.
Yeah.
So an additional hooplehead came in to try to say...
And he actually tried to tell me that I was being aggressive. Aggressive with Dave.
Right, and that you must not be much of a comedian if you have a day
starts
job.
Starts judging me and starts critiquing what I do for a living.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have time to get into the way, hey, what do you do for a living?
Fuck? Right.
You know, what do you do? You know, what is it you do? You're going to critique what I do. You know, and then you start getting into that well... I'm pretty successful, you know. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I realize I don't give a like, you know, I'm not gonna waste my time with this schmuck. So, not defriend, not unfriend. This guy's not even a friend of mine. I just blocked him.
All right, so he's blocked.
I hit him block. I don't want to hear your shit.
So you can block people, you can unfriend them, you can defriend them, but what you shouldn't do is obsess about what. All right, so years ago, I had a video on collegehumor.com, and my friend Jamie Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Who's been on Conan and
very funny lady,
really, really great comic. We had lunch one day and she said, Clayton, I want to congratulate you on, you know, the College Humor, because that's kind of a big website. A lot of people watch the videos.
Right.
I think it got like 100,000 hits. Pretty good, you know.
Nice.
So I was all excited about it. And she said, let me give you some advice as someone that's had a video on collegehumor.com before. Do not, whatever you do, do not read the comments.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know,
is anybody worse than college kids?
There are. Yeah. It's like you take the prototype of a hater.
Yeah.
And make them 19.
Yeah.
All right. A 19-year-old hater with a computer.
Nothing more righteous and judgmental than a college kid. When you take an adolescent and give them some knowledge, it's like a new comic, right? When a comic just starts. And then, you know, they're in there for like 6 months, a year, and then they start spewing off knowledge. Like, let me tell you. What And you're like, listen.
Teach you about comedy.
Yeah. Pipe down, Chuck E. Cheese. Right. Anyway,
I never read the comments.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah. And that's why, like they say, even like on YouTube, if you have a video that's hitting, like I had a thing on Comedy Time, you know, and you start reading through it, and some people are like.
Evil.
Yeah, they're just like, you know. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm here with Clayton Fletcher.
Hey.
And I just vented. I feel good, although I'm still packed with phlegm.
Yeah, you seem angry.
Right? I'm still angry. I'm trying to breathe. I'm getting blockage. Ugh, it's just disgusting. Hey, by the way, we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines right after this.
Hey, this is Bob Gola with the Wake Up Dougie Show. It's time to wake up and bake.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them.
Nice.
Things are so bad in Florida, we're going to have a new segment called A Florida Man, because there's always something with a Florida man.
Yeah, the first three words of any news story.
Yeah, the Florida man. Speaking of politics, by the way, and sexual harassment, which, you know, you got to listen. I always say you got to keep your whistle clean.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't. I said this on a show a few weeks ago when this Harvey Weinstein thing came out. You know, I worked in a bank and stuff, and there's a lot of women in a bank. And you know, it's easy to get caught up in that, especially if you're, you know, a good-looking guy and you know, you get your fancy, you're making money because you're the financial guy, you know, and this and that. You know, it's never a good sign when a woman comes in and goes, oh, my husband, he's such an asshole. I need to do something crazy tonight.
Yeah, that's a bad... Yeah.
You got to get the hell out of the room.
Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster.
Unless she's hot and you want to bang her.
No, Doug, no. You were doing fine until that last part there. Well, everything was going fine. You were saying the right thing. All you right. were... And then you just... Unless she's... I know we... Like, when you see a hot woman, you want to just, like, grab the boob. Like, grab them.
Just grab them.
You just squeeze the butt, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that, Doug.
No,
you can't.
She's not a stuffed animal.
Just be... Not tickle me Elmo, okay? Just because you want to do that doesn't mean you should. You
it's
can't.
Like, it's like when I go to the grocery store, I see that bag of Oreos. I just can't open them up and start eating them. I mean, you can't. All I could do is say, I'm buying them, and that's it. You don't go to jail, but you can't just walk up to a woman and do these things.
All right.
Although our former president, George H.W. Bush, recently had to apologize, which you got to look at this because there's a picture of him, and he's in his wheelchair. This is recent. He's in his wheelchair.
Yeah.
His wife, Barbara Bush, is there, and there's an actress. And he actually apologized because, you know, in the picture, there's a nice-looking actress woman standing next to her dress, and he must have groped her. He apologized for groping her.
I mean, you know, I feel like if you're over 80, you know.
You do something like that?
You're over 80.
You get a pass?
Not a pass. Not a full pass.
No?
Not at all. By no means a full pass.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the time when you're 80, 85... You don't really have control of your impulses in the same way as you would at 25 or 40.
So there's a bunch of 85-year-old men listening to this podcast right
They're
now.
They're thinking, you get a pass.
Honey, I want to go shopping with you.
And you're down there in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, it's right there. You're at eye level. I mean, I'm not giving him a pass, to be clear.
Actress Heather Lind made allegations on Tuesday claiming when she met former President George H.W. Bush, who's now 93, he sexually assaulted her from his wheelchair. It's like the wheelchair perverted Olympics.
Yeah.
She claimed the assault happened during a photo op with Barbara Bush standing right by his side. He claims his wife saw the incident unfold. The now 34-year-old actress also claimed that afterwards Bush's security detail told her she shouldn't have stood next to him, the former president, for the photo op.
Yeah, because now that's the ultimate victim blaming.
Yeah.
So the photographer says, all right, get together for a picture, everybody.
Yeah.
And now after the fact, the poor girl gets groped and she's got to be victim blamed for doing what the photographer said.
Yeah.
Why did you stand next to him? If you didn't want to get felt up, why did you stand next to the former president?
You should have known better, honey. He's 93 years old and his dick hasn't worked in 16 years.
I mean, now if... The problem with things like, and then his security detail told me this, this kind of always goes back to, and I hate this part of it, but we have to question the motive. You know, are you trying to make the former president look bad? Did the Secret Service actually say that? Or is that part made up? Again, did some political pundit get into this woman's ear and say, hey, look, you could get famous from this and also help the cause of all Republicans are scumbags?
Mm-hmm.
Or did it actually happen? I mean, look, Harvey Weinstein is proof that perverts come from both sides of the political spectrum.
Right.
So
it's not just, yeah, exactly.
You know, Bill O'Reilly has been accused. Obviously, a lot of people at Fox News have seen it been under fire, you know, but then, you know, you could say, well, you shouldn't have stood next to Bill O'Reilly either.
Yeah.
That was also a mistake.
Yeah.
You know where those hands are going.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I mean, they got all those hot chicks working at Fox News, too.
Yeah.
It's hard not to, you know.
Yeah. If you like pretty well-spoken blondes, Fox News is your channel.
She quote, when I got the chance to meet George H.W. Bush 4 years ago to promote a historical television show I was working on, he sexually assaulted me while I was posing for a similar photo. He didn't shake my hand. He touched me from behind, from his wheelchair, with his wife, Barbara Bush, sitting right there next to him. He told me a dirty joke, Linda alleges. In a statement, blah, 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 the former president responded, President Bush would never under any circumstance intentionally cause anyone's distress. But I may have accidentally put my hand up her skirt. I mean, that's what I would have done. Well, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm just thinking if I was a pervert.
Wait, I couldn't tell at what point the quote ended. Like, where does the Bush quote end and where does Dougie's interjection yeah. begin?
That's up for our listeners to figure out.
Now, I want to know what Barbara thinks, you know?
Well, she's just glad he's not touching her.
Right, yeah. So you're a married man, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Would you ever grab another woman's butt in front of your wife?
No.
Would you do it? Not in front of your wife.
No, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I've been high on ecstasy before and grabbed a girl's ass with my wife standing next to me.
That is dangerous.
Yeah, you know, but but what can you do? I was on ecstasy.
Yeah, and I think if you're 85 or on ecstasy, you get
excuses.
A slight pass, yeah. A half pass.
Now, if you're 85 and on ecstasy, oh, shit, then all bets are off.
All bets are off. Yeah.
Yeah. So, listen, you almost want to give the guy a medal for still having the, you know. I mentioned this earlier, Kellogg's to replace racially insensitive Corn Pops boxes because they got called out on Twitter. Again, people have nothing better to do, you know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody would look at a cereal box and go, oh.
So what is the, I don't really know, what is the mascot for Corn Pops?
Isn't that like I thought that was the guys, like the little chef guys with the hats?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's Rice Krispies.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. You're talking about Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Okay, yeah, you're right. We actually talked about our favorite breakfast cereals yesterday.
Okay,
which mine was always either. I have Honey Bunches of Oats is my go to. I like that one, and I'm really excited because my wife finally learned how to put the right amount of milk.
You do this every day.
What, cereal?
No, the podcast.
No, just 2-3 days a week.
Okay,
it's a bonus episode today for our listeners.
Okay. Bonus.
Kellogg's will be redesigning a Corn Pop cereal boxes after a complaint about racially insensitive art on the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
The Battle Creek, Michigan-based cereal and snack maker said on Twitter Wednesday it will replace the cover drawing of a cartoon characters shaped like corn kernels populating a shopping mall. The Corn Pop characters are shown popping, playing in an arcade, and frolicked in a fountain on skateboards down an escalator.
How is this racially insensitive?
What struck Saladin Ahmed.
Oh, let's ask Saladin Ahmed.
Yeah. Was that a single brown Corn Pop was working as a janitor.
A token. Yeah, that's not cool, Kellogg's. But I'm with Saladin on this one.
But if you look at all the other people doing stuff, they're like different shades of yellow. But I guess you could say he is a little darker.
So the darkest kernel is sweeping up after...
He's the janitor.
After the light-colored kernels are having fun skateboarding and playing games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I'm glad that people like Saladin are out there to police the cereal makers of America.
Yeah, because we can't have world peace unless this shit is figured out.
I mean, look, we can say, there's two ways of looking at this, in my view. You can say, well, this isn't a big enough thing to get upset about, right? And that's kind of your take. And I respect your take. But at the same time, you got to kind of ask Kellogg's, what the hell were you thinking?
All right, well, let me ask you a question. How many janitors... Like, if you were to just walk, if all of a sudden, if we were to walk into 100 different buildings and we were to see the janitor staff, what would be the mass, what nationality or, you know, I mean, I'm just saying there's one thing to be an observationist and to pick something, and there's another thing to say, well, it has to be that way.
I might not have a problem with the brown Corn Pop sweeping if other brown Corn Pops were also enjoying the arcade.
Exactly. If there was one like winning a lot of tickets and shit.
And one like filling out an application to Harvard, you know, like make it more equal.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the box. It just seems like the one poor guy. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I agree with that.
Yeah.
100%. He had in subsequent posts, said it's a tiny thing, but when you see your kid staring at the box... Now, that's bullshit. See, now, here's somebody getting the fucking
this
kid involved to
far.
Legitimize.
This is going too far. Yeah.
I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, my kid got upset and he was going to hang himself. All right, calm down.
Now, I mean, I think when it's systemic and that all the cereals in Battle Creek, Michigan decide to collectively keep reinforcing these racial stereotypes that, you know, only cereal that is brown should be sweeping and cereal that is white should be having fun. Then I could see it being a problem. This seems to be an isolated incident.
Yeah.
It was probably a careless error.
And it's odd because there's one of the pop cereal guys in a wheelchair grabbing a sexy cereal pop tart.
I never trusted that toucan on the Fruit Loops box. I think he probably felt up a chick or two.
He's a Fruit Loop.
Yeah, he's a Fruit Loop. He's what a fucking Fruit Loop. Know? Yeah.
What, I mean, that nose. What do you think he does with that nose?
Toucan Sam. That's a long nose. Yeah. I just remembered his name, by the way, Toucan Sam.
Yeah, Toucan Sam. Your nose.
Yeah. Now, nobody has a problem with Tony the Tiger being naked all the time.
Yeah, no clothes.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's just white privilege right there.
It is. Absent-minded shopper takes cart with baby, causing a lockdown.
Wait, what?
In other words, a woman's sitting there going shopping, and she grabs the wrong cart. Like,
and she's got a baby.
I can see that happening. Like, a cart similarly filled with yours. Maybe you have some Snapple in there, and they have Snapple.
Right, and
you
think a toddler. Your cart.
Yeah, but the toddler's usually right there, you know? Something smells like shit. Police say an absent-minded shopper at a Maine grocery store took somebody else's cart with a sleeping baby inside, causing a lockdown and police investigation.
At what point do you realize there's a sleeping toddler in your grocery cart? Yeah.
Did somebody say something? What's that? I'm hearing whining. Portland police say the shopper was mortified when he realized his mistake, but didn't bother to alert anyone on Friday. Instead, the shopper left the cart in another part of the store.
You know what? I get it. And I wouldn't have done that. I would not have done that, to be clear. But I get it. Because the last thing you want to be known as is the guy that took somebody's baby away. It's like, maybe if I just leave this here, check, and you know, buy my apples, get my Wonder Bread, and get out of here. No one will ever know that I've made this mistake. And what's the worst thing that could happen to this sleeping baby in the grocery store?
Yeah.
You know? It's not like you left him in the parking lot or on the freeway.
Think about the decision problem. You're right, because here's a guy, he realizes what he's done.
Right.
He's like,
oops, I have a baby now.
You know, am I going to go up and say, hey, I accidentally took this baby? No one's going to believe me.
No one's going to believe me.
So but then you're like, what if I do it? If I bring it back, then I'm being honest.
Right.
But they're going to arrest me thinking I had sex with a baby or
something. Right. They're going to test the baby and find out if you've done anything untoward. And then you got to hang out at the grocery store for 3 hours while they rewind the video camera footage.
Explain that one to your wife.
Yeah.
What do you mean you took the baby? I didn't know it was a baby. I thought it was, I don't know. I thought it was bread.
Hey, I told you, I'm an absent-minded shopper.
Yeah. That just goes to show, guess what? We're going to do everything on Amazon now.
That's why we should label each other. Absent-minded, present-minded.
Yeah.
You know, we should know who's in the grocery store when we walk in.
Exactly. I think everybody should have their IQ pasted to their forehead. then it would explain things.
Well, just how present is your mind today? Is it absent? Is it somewhat present? Is it clouded? How much sleep did you get last night? Don't come near my baby.
Exactly. That you know, sometimes that shit happens.
Now, if I were in a grocery store with my baby, I would probably not take my eye off the baby.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to victim blame the mother here.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Some of her friends on Facebook are responding to you. But, now, hold on a second. It says here that the mother was busy looking at a cereal box.
Yeah, and getting upset at the color of the janitor on the... Yeah. Yeah, okay. Got it.
Here's a story that goes to your hometown. New York City mayoral candidate trips over Chihuahua and breaks her own foot.
Oh, yeah. So if anyone else tripped over a Chihuahua and broke her foot, it wouldn't make the news.
Right.
But the fact that you're running for office means that we now have to put the microscope on every single thing you do each and every day, you know?
Well, Chihuahua's easy to trip over. It's a little animal. You know what I mean? It's there. You don't see it. It's not like it's like a person standing next to you.
Right.
And but at least that isn't bad. We have a woman here that's running for Congress, a Republican, that claims she was abducted by aliens.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. That made the national news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's you would think you would say after that came out, you'd be like, well, maybe I won't be a politician.
I feel like maybe you won't be as impartial as you should be once you've been abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going as far as possible with our elected representatives.
Yeah.
You know, how kooky can we get one? You know, like look at that cowboy hat lady that's insulting Trump and look at Trump. I mean, he's kind of over the top. I feel like we're just going to try to go as far as we can.
Yeah. Next thing you know, we're going to have like professional wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be amazing.
Yeah. Show up in their tights and a mask. Our next president is going to run with a mask. He's not. He's going to be the unknown president.
You know, politics has gotten closer to wrestling and further away from civilized debate.
Exactly.
In the last several cycles. So it wouldn't surprise me.
New York City Republican candidate for mayor is campaigning on a broken foot after tripping over a fucking chihuahua. State Assemblywoman Nicole Malliotakis. Malliotakis. Every pronunciation there. Tells the Daily News that she ran into a table leg while trying to avoid stepping on the little dog named Peanut.
Now, see, that's some PR guy saying, look, you can't just say that you didn't see the 3-inch dog on the floor.
Yeah.
You got to say that you were avoiding the dog and you somehow tripped. Yeah. And it's just.
Yeah. How can this woman be a politician? She can't get out of the way of a dog. How is she going to get out of the way of, you know, important issues?
Malliotopoulos hates dogs. Let's get her. Yeah. You know,
we're going to change your name to Malliotopoulos over Chihuahua. People are just too. Here's the thing I don't like anymore. People are too critical. You know, people are just so judgmental of others. You know, meanwhile, we're all flawed.
Yes.
You know, we want to be so righteous. We want to be so like, oh, look at this person, this and that. And I'm like, who the fuck? And that was one of the comments I made with that thing. I'm like, we're all flawed. The mere fact that you feel the need to point these things out only goes to show a lot about who you are.
It's true.
Right? When you think about it.
We don't want our politicians to be flawed. We want them to be perfect.
Yeah.
We don't want our celebrities or our Hollywood executives to be flawed. We prefer for them to be absolutely perfect. You know, the thing that this keeps bringing me back to is how much I used to love Bill Cosby.
Right.
When I was a little boy, I used to listen to Bill Cosby himself almost every night when I was falling asleep. And, you know, I loved Fat Albert. I loved The Cosby Show. And, I mean, I wish he never did those terrible things.
Right.
And I wish that I didn't have to have one of my childhood heroes ruined like that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think we need to start making a bigger distinction between something like a Bill Cosby doing horrible things and taking advantage of defenseless women that he drugged.
Right.
And some chick tripping over a dog.
Yeah, there's a difference.
It's not the same.
Yeah, we've all tripped over something in our life, but not all of us have drugged women. You know.
Who hasn't tripped over a chihuahua?
Right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. It's like, compare the two.
Who hasn't stolen a baby from the grocery store?
Yeah, who hasn't mistakenly walked away? You know, carrying her, you know. This is funny because yesterday we had a story of a couple in France that wanted to name their kid Jihad.
Nice name.
In France, they said, no, you know.
Yeah.
But a German couple in Germany, a couple backs off plans to call their baby Lucifer.
Nice.
Yeah. A baby in Germany won't be named Lucifer after authorities intervened. They changed the name to Hitler, though.
Certain names you can't use anymore. Lucifer.
Yeah.
Adolf.
Yeah.
Caitlin.
Caitlin's a bad one.
Probably
now.
Over at this
point. No one uses Dick anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think Richard, Ricardo, like these names are still out there, but very few young Richards are calling themselves Dick.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Dick. Here's my little son, Little Dick.
Dick Jr.
A register in central city of Kazal sought clarification from a local district court after a couple sought to give their son the name Lucifer. Wednesday, the registrar suspected the name could endanger the child's well-being, you think?
So, this aroused suspicion in the clerk? So the clerk was saying, hey, you sure?
Yeah, you want to name the kid Lucifer?
You want to rethink that?
Yeah. And then you got to ask, why would you want to do it? Like, well, because when he was born, his head turned and spun, and he spit out green vomit, so... That's why we want to call him Lucifer.
I think the name Lucifer actually comes from the Latin for lucky.
Really?
So, yeah, maybe you just wanted your kid to have...
Well, that's like jihad. Jihad actually in certain... In Arabic, whatever it is, it means something like, you know, grand or whatever. It's like it actually has a positive meaning.
Right. Yeah.
But you know.
Around here, we don't like that word.
Yeah. It's not a good name.
Around jihad. These parts, and this is a free carry state.
Just call him SB, suicide bomber. Fucking names. You know, I mean... But you got to think about parents, like, you know.
How did you settle on a name for your dog?
Player?
Yeah. How did you come up with that one?
Because he was always playing.
Oh, that's a great.
I mean, he was always running around and shit, you know, and he's in that Jack Russell. And so I just thought it'd be like a doubled on time, like, you know, player. Like, somebody says, why'd you name him player? You know, like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, he humps everything.
Right. Okay.
He chases the ball. You know, it's just, he's a real player.
That's good.
And Pepper, the other dog,
mm-hmm.
we named her Pepper because she's got black spots in her tongue.
Right. which is offensive to people in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Yeah.
Why aren't they, why do the white spots not
have to? Why don't you call her salty? What's up with that? Here's a story. Man hiding from police calls for help after getting stuck.
Okay.
I did it. I got away. Shit, I can't move. The one good thing about ignorance is, you know, that it seems like a lot of people, I mean, we got ignorant politicians, we got ignorant, you know, filmmakers that are making mistakes, comic, but a lot of these criminals are just getting really stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid criminals are the best.
Yeah. They're you know, we wouldn't need police if they're all like this.
We like to point and laugh, right? Like that's a schadenfreude. It's like a, yeah. It's a human emotion. Like we like to point and laugh, but I always feel guilty if I point and laugh, like just like a regular guy falls down the stairs and it's like, it's a little funny, but yeah. I also feel bad. But like when you hear about an idiot criminal
yeah.
who like, you know, ends up getting stuck and the police have to save him and then they arrest him. That's just fun.
I remember
that's just fun for everybody.
I remember the first time this kind of happened to me. I was dating this girl in college, my freshman year in college. She was from Patchogue, Long Island. God, no, Urso. Remember her last name? Big boobs, Italian chick, nice, hot.
Thick accent?
No, yeah, you know, but she was, you know. And,
you looked past it. You
yeah,
looked past
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she was, but, you know, oh, she was pretty hot. And she like, I remember we were going walking to the library and she tripped and she started laughing hysterically at herself. And I thought, this girl is cool as shit. She's not like uptight, like, oh, I didn't see that. You know, she just started laughing.
She owned it.
She owned it.
I respect that.
Right?
I respect
so,
that so
I,
much.
When shit, like, yeah, we had a story yesterday. Some guy got into a road rage incident and he started, the car behind him started honking at him. So he got out of the car because he was pissed and he forgot to put the car, the,
oh my
the
God.
Hand, he forgot to put the handbrake on and the car ran him over. And when he was walking towards the car, it ran over him. And then as it hit the car behind, you know, great. That you got to laugh at that. Yeah, authorities say Utah man who was hiding from police and fled arrest had to call 911 to be rescued after getting stuck in a hiding spot. Salt Lake City Police said a 46-year-old Shane Paul Owen called dispatchers for help on Tuesday, more than 6 hours after he accidentally locked himself in a church boiler room.
Now, see, you can go so many ways with this one. You can bring Lucifer back.
Yeah.
We're in the church. It's hot down there in the boiler room. He got this guy. He's paying for his sins.
How great would that have been if Lucifer was a police officer? Officer Lucifer here to get you.
Oh. Awfully hot down here in the basement.
Yeah.
In the boiler room.
Police say an officer spotted him and attempted to pull his vehicle over, but Owen fled, got out of his car, and ran into the church. A SWAT team held a standoff at the church until Owen's called for them to be rescued.
Wow, so a SWAT team and everything. Wow.
Yeah, when somebody barricades himself,
yeah,
you got to bring these guys
that's
in.
What you got to do. The heavy artillery.
Hell yeah. Badasses. now this, again, I think, you know, I think this is a karma story. I don't know if it's really karma, but ant bites and cocaine killed a cocoa woman. Autopsies in Florida, Cocoa Beach woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she got, I've never met anybody who did a lot of cocaine and fell asleep.
No, it doesn't work that way.
I don't know if there was cocaine like laced in like chocolate. I mean.
We did a gig there, you and I, Cocoa Beach.
Yeah, Gregory. No, we did we do Gregory's?
Gregory's.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
we did that week.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'm going to be there in November, a few weeks. It's always great to be staying on the beach in Cocoa Beach.
Let's hope the audience doesn't fall asleep.
Yeah. And get bit by ants. Yeah. Ant bites, cocaine killed a cocoa woman, autopsy says. A woman who likely passed out from cocaine use died after suffering an allergic reaction to ant bites.
So if she had just fallen asleep normally, ants biting her would probably have woken her up.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the medical? Why did we need to mention the cocaine? I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Well, she
because she was
took too much cocaine
and she overdosed
and she didn't realize that she was laying on an ant pile
and then she was allergic to ants.
I just found a soft spot on the grass to lay down.
I mean,
on
this is a perfect just like coming together of all these unfortunate factors.
Yeah.
For this
woman. Could you imagine this year, you know, how would you like to give her eulogy? A 59-year-old cocoa woman was found dead near the West Cocoa grocery store where no one cares. Early that morning, someone discovered Rigsby near a trash receptacle and called 911. Medical examiners later determined that she died of her allergic reaction to the ant bites.
Jeez. Not the cocaine.
It's like you said, she wouldn't have had so many ant bites had she been conscious.
Wow.
I've leaned up against a tree when I was a kid at a baseball game And all of a sudden, I felt something in my neck, and I went like that, and I had thousands of ants on me.
Are you allergic to them?
No.
No, it's just gross.
It's just, but, you know.
Now, do you have any major allergies?
Just penicillin.
Yeah, that's a pretty normal one to have.
So if an ant that just got a shot of penicillin bites me, I could die.
Then you'd really be in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
I mean, when did people start getting allergic to ants? That's a new one on me. I've heard of bee stings.
Right.
You know, I'm allergic to bees, so if a bee bites me, I don't just get a normal bee sting. I have to go to the hospital.
You got
to
run.
Yeah, I've heard of this stuff, right? But ants, really?
Well, I guess there'd be a lot of them, you know. Mom, actually, remember when she was outside, like, you know, they're all outside. Spanish people can be just be outside chatting. Almost like shock.
These are ants. These are vicarious.
These are black ants because they're, I'm very anti-racist. Black ants are the best.
They're peaceful.
They're peaceful. They don't won't do nothing. You. They don't do nothing.
So it's the red ones?
It's the red ones. Yeah. Red are bad. Fire ants.
Which is why we should rename the Washington football team.
Yeah. The red ants. Phoenix, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area. Oh, let me read it first. And out folks, I have some bunnies. Phoenix, PA, Philadelphia area candidate, says he was serious when he vowed to investigate the use of drug sniffies.
Oh, come on.
Even though it appears staring at him from internet hoax.
That sounds like an Onion article.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
The Philadelphia Inquirer reports Republican nominee David Guttrow broached the idea Thursday at a Phoenix mayoral forum. The candidate told the newspaper he had been told about the idea at a gathering and thought he had confirmed with someone that were in use there. This was right after they had a conversation about the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus.
I mean, I feel bad for the guy because if I heard that, and you know how there is a population problem with bunnies. There are too many bunnies. I don't know if you know this, Dougie.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
A lot of rabbits.
Too many rabbits for the ecosystem. Not enough bees. Things like that are going on.
Yeah.
So it just makes you... You know, here's somebody that probably saw a fake article. Because nowadays, we have no idea what's real and what's fake.
Right.
You know, how could you know what's real and what's fake?
He wanted to be smart. He wanted to be like, he wanted to be a little ahead
cutting edge. Yeah. 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 And then he, you know, starts talking about it at some campaign event.
Yeah.
And then like, gotcha. And I feel like there's so much gotcha going on.
Yeah. He probably just watched like the Monty Python Search of the Holy Grail. The killer rabbit.
Is it the dumbest thing you've ever heard of? That bunnies could potentially be trained to sniff? I mean, I don't think it's that crazy.
No.
I believe it. I would believe it if I read that.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, animals have a strong sense of smell.
Well, they say rabbits have great eyes.
They do. They love all the carrots. Yeah.
My dad used to say that. You're like, you never see a rabbit. You know, you're wearing glasses. I'm like, yeah, Dad, but you don't ever see him wearing, like, reading a book either.
I feel bad for this one. This guy, he got gotcha'd, you know? Yeah. Check your sources, check your facts, because no one knows what to believe anymore.
Yeah.
One thing Trump is right about is that people don't trust the media.
No, you don't. And you can't. It's all about with the media, it's all about who's got the story, the breaking news, and we're going to make it up if not.
Yeah.
And with that being said, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
We didn't even get into poker.
No, we didn't even talk about poker.
Unbelievable.
But I really want to play this week.
I'm relieved. Usually when I do a poker podcast, they ask me a lot of questions about comedy. And usually when I do a comedy podcast, they want to talk about poker.
Yeah.
So this time I didn't have to really talk about either.
No, we just talked about hoopleheads and defriending.
People being left in the grocery store by their... That's negligent right. Mothers.
By the way, guys, don't forget tonight, Wise Guys Comedy Show. If you're listening to us on Facebook Live at Tavolino's, just $10. Myself, Tony Black, and Clayton Fletcher are on the show. And if you're in the Fort Pierce area, say at Port St. Lucie or anything like that, come catch Clayton and I and a few other comics at the Sunrise Theater. Always a fun show there at the Fort in Fort Pierce.
Who else is on that one, do you know?
A few other people. I mean, Casey and Spaz will be hosting.
Uh-huh.
I think Wayne Felber, a comic from this area, will be doing a guest spot.
Great.
And, coming out to Sunrise Theater this weekend. For more dates with me, go to DougieAlmeida.com. I'm going to be in Colorado Springs. I'm going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, and Cocoa Beach. All kinds of dates coming up. How about you?
Dougie is not afraid to put the miles on, that's for sure.
Hell no.
I will be in Stockholm, Sweden.
Oh, look at you.
November 9th through 19th. At the, what is it called? Raw Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing. It'll be my 17th trip to Sweden.
Nice.
And the first time performing at this club. And it's exciting. They're doing an all-English show. I'm headlining. I'm very excited.
Nice.
Yeah, and I have some other dates coming up. You can check my schedule. Just follow me on Twitter, at Clayton Comic. That's the way to go.
Follow our show at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and on Twitter. Thanks for listening, guys. And guess what? We'll be back next week with an all-new show right here at the same spot.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. People of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. Came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They pierced the limits of imagination to the door to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes.